Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan Run Radio.
Today we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue, it won't do.
Dance. Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the Chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and, candidly, a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson.
Hope you feel.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think you're on. No? I'm just hearing it through this one, I guess.
Yep.
New Alex.
We're getting there.
Yeah, you're there.
A little more there. There we go, Dave. Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
I was going to actually say, I hope that Alex is feeling well now. Never mind.
It wasn't his fault. Nobody thought to turn the box
on. If he was here, it would have been done, but he's not here.
That's true.
I blame him.
What was he thinking?
You should have let us know. Hey, don't forget to turn the box up.
No, not just that. What was he thinking? Getting his
I don't know.
Second.
I don't know.
COVID vaccine shot the day before.
It's a bad idea.
The playoffs. Right after Coach K moves him up in the lineup to lead off, he goes and, you know.
Reliability.
You know.
It's a big thing.
Did he get the shot in the throwing arm?
Let's hope not.
Because there's competing thoughts on that, you know. A lot of times a nurse will say, for any type of shot, you know, flu shot, whatever, like get it in your dominant arm because you'll use it more. And
it'll work out the pain faster. Yeah.
But if you've got a big Knoxville
Sports. Well, if it's not his throwing arm, it's his fielding arm. So
if you've got a big Knoxville Sports and Social co-ed softball playoff tournament, I don't know. You got to go fielding arm, right?
Love that you said
that. Being ambidextrous and just usually switch it up.
Don't you have to get him in the same arm, though?
Yeah, sure. I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know. Why would you?
Why, yeah.
I'm just asking.
I don't think so.
Then you're down. Then both arms hurt.
Just asking a question. I don't know.
You got like a what? Is it every 2-week period between shots?
Couldn't he have waited till tomorrow, or is that not possible?
Yeah, he could have. Yep.
How long? Yeah, like.
I don't know. Man, depends on where he went. And
maybe he's not bought
in. Hey, we need you to come in on this time.
Sad.
Callum says after his boy gets shelled, new Alex doesn't even have the decency to show up. Sad.
Oh, I know. That's another good point. Good point by Callum.
Lighter.
You know, the faster they come in, the faster they go out, Houston. Those two home runs off Leiter were rockets.
He gave up three, didn't he?
Did he give up three?
Yes.
We had one guy hit three. So
yeah,
yes,
he did
we
give
did.
Up three.
Yes, we did.
But he didn't give up the grand slam, right? That was obviously the reliever guy, right?
Right.
Yeah. He did give up three. But the first, I can't remember the third. The first two were just like, I mean, they were out of a cannon.
I'll say this about Tennessee baseball. We've got the power. We just got to be a little bit better at getting on base. And if we could do that without two outs, that would be ideal. We finally did that in game two. I think we left the bases loaded the inning before, if I'm not mistaken, because you tweeted something out like that felt like it kind of had to be it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put ourselves in a weird little spot there, because if Pavloni doesn't get hit by that pitch, they're probably going to walk Evan Russell. Pavloni gets hit, takes his base, heads to the dugout.
Yeah, only if they can get Pavloni out, like strike him out or pop him up or something.
That's what I'm saying. Like if he doesn't get on base there, they're walking Evan Russell.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. So it was, but I think we only had one out at that point, maybe zero.
One.
Was it?
Yep.
And then you got to love the first pitch confidence that Evan Russell had. I mean, he'd already hit two home runs. He was feeling it.
Well, to be looking for
a
breaking
ball. And then just
click. That was the just the next level ability to go up there and say, there's no way they're going to start me off with a fastball. I'm going to look for a breaking ball, and if it's dead red, I'm going to hit it. And he did. And what's funny is, so the earlier home runs, like I mentioned, I mean, they were just blast.
No doubters, yeah. Kind of like the one he hit yesterday.
Yeah. That one.
Which I don't even know if it's landed yet, actually. I'll have to check on that.
There were some bombs yesterday, both teams. It was crazy.
Yeah, the ball was popping out of the ballpark yesterday. Yeah.
But the big grand slam that won the game on Saturday, the play of the season for Tennessee baseball so far.
I know Vanderbilt won the series. That was the play of the series.
Though the bases are loaded, one out, you're down one. It's the eighth inning. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, just get one, extend the game. Like, so it comes when it came off his bat. I guess maybe this is just me being a pessimist, but I was like, oh, good, that should get the run home. You know, like,
yeah.
Like that should be deep enough. And if you watch the replay of the Vanderbilt pitcher, as he watches it come off the bat, he starts to point like it's a pop-up.
And then he kind of, wait a minute.
I think he hit that pretty good.
I love the zoom-in shot of him that they played after the live feed. He's just there looking at it, just, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, it just happened.
I think because it was a curveball, the way it came off the bat looked more like it was a pop-up. Obviously, it was a much higher towering drive than the rocket ships that the guys did earlier. But the thing just kept carrying and carrying, and not only did it get the run home, it got all four runs home. It was a grand slam.
Tennessee, as I said, they did lose the series. They lost on Friday.
You should be happy, though. You said this was the goal.
Easy.
Goal
easy.
Mission accomplished.
I'm not happy.
All right.
They lost 5-0. Friday night, Tennessee gets the win 8-4 off Evan Russell's grande salami on Saturday. And then yesterday, pitchers had a tough day. Tennessee down 10-4.
Yeah, 10-4.
Not a great day yesterday.
No. Tennessee did hit a couple home runs in that one early. Went off the top of the scoreboard. That was pretty cool.
Well, they had I think we had 6 hits and four of them were home runs or something like that. So, as Tony Vitello said, this was a great, what did he say? Learning experience.
Okay.
Great series for learning. It was big.
Yeah, Ferguson and Rucker both homered in the first inning for Tennessee yesterday.
Yeah, I was.
And you're up 2-1.
I was getting excited.
Let's go.
I was getting excited.
We were at the ball game. It was, you couldn't even see the first one, really. Like, I saw it because, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I had nice sunglasses on, and I could see, but like my son was like, I lost it. Like, where the second one though, off the top of the scoreboard, was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Off the it was batter's eye.
It was weird. Like I lost. There were some foul balls that I just lost. It was so bright,
mm-hmm.
and there were just some big white clouds in certain spots that you just lose the ball in. But yeah, 10-4 yesterday. Here's the big take, Houston.
They didn't get swept.
It's like this in, yeah. So I'm glad you're happy. That's what you said the goal was. See, it kind of proves my point. They could have won the series. Yesterday was anybody's game. Yesterday was there was not going to be a dominant pitcher in yesterday's game. There just wasn't. It started off exactly how Tennessee needed to go. Like everybody's scoring. You're up 2-1. It's 2-2. It's
You know where we lost the game.
Where's that?
Was when that little fast guy got on first, stole second, stole third, and then you could tell that Blade Tidwell was more worried about him than he was the batter. Then I think did we give up 3 in that inning? And then they brought in Kirby Cannell, and he was having to worry about the same guy. Like an inning later, yeah. He gave up I think his second batter popped one over the fence. It was just a tough day. Tough day. Vanderbilt, best hitting team in the conference for a reason. They're good. They're very good. And it just felt like, we had a couple mistakes in the field. Vanderbilt was hitting these, weird dribblers up the gap that we could get to him, but not with enough time to stand up, make the throw. It was just, I don't know. It was a weird day yesterday. You did put 4 over the fence, though.
Yeah, I think...
The Farragut guy had to hit a home run. Didn't like that.
What was his name? Young? Young hit a home run. Nolan? Was it Nolan?
I think it was Nolan. Yep, Nolan. Yeah, that's him. Not good.
Tennessee hit 4 home runs yesterday.
Yeah, 5 hits, 4 home runs.
Ferguson, Rucker, Russell, and Greer. Greer had to start because
Pavloni. We're pretty lucky that Greer's healthy enough to play right now as Pavloni gets
really?
Hurt. Yeah, because he was out with a knee for most of the season. I think that at-bat – I think the at-bat Sunday was his first at-bat of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like Greer walked every time he came up until he hit a home run. That's a pretty good day.
No, yeah, he was
Let's
fine.
See, what was fine. It? I mean, he hit last.
Eric says it's Misery Monday.
It's not really misery.
Not Misery Monday. We might drop a spot or two in the polls, but as Nate said, this was you had a chance to win this series.
Yeah, Greer was 1-for-2.
And 2 walks?
2 walks. And his one was the solo home run in the 9th.
Yeah, we're good with the solo home run.
No, in the 7th. Sorry, it was just the last run for some reason. Do it in the last inning. Yeah, it was really frustrating. It's when the fast guy you're talking about, what's that guy's name? Enrique Bradford.
Yeah, dude.
Bradfield.
That's it.
Yeah.
Callum makes a good point. He says they took advantage of Greer replacing Pavloni. Yeah, I mean, Greer hadn't done it, right? Like, he hadn't thrown a bunch of pickoffs. He has not been your starting catcher.
He also scored on a pop fly to the shortstop from third. So, I don't know that we can blame Greer for the whole thing. Like our defense
I didn't think he made any horrible throws, and he actually got him on one. That was, the second time he'd been picked up.
Third.
I mean, kind of because Bradfield popped off the bag a little bit. How about the guy missing first base?
That was really weird.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, man. I don't want to make fun of them because it's if they tighten it up, man, might be unbeatable. But I don't know. Overall, did you watch all 3 games?
All 3 games.
You leave this series thinking Tennessee is...
All right. So, I used to watch a lot of college baseball, like I said on Friday, when I knew guys that actually played for South Carolina. So, that's a lot of SEC baseball. Mm-hmm. Tennessee was awful during that stretch.
Yeah.
I was reminded, being at the ballpark yesterday, that Tennessee didn't even make the NCAA tournament from 2005 to 2019. Didn't even make it. Think how bad that is. But anyway, Tony V got us back. Would have been 2019 and 2020. Last year they'd have made it. And this year, they're going to make it. But here's the way it works in college baseball.
Callum says that was not Greer's first at-bat of the year. That's my bad. That was something Bob Kessling said. And I'll be honest, I made a big mistake last week. I said Bob Kessling on the baseball call, good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to walk that back.
Mm-hmm.
Just a touch. As Captain Touchback said, we found a worse play-by-play guy than Bob on a football call. It's Bob on a baseball call. Tennessee had a man on.
Yeah.
I can't. It was like sixth or seventh inning. Rucker's up, swings the bat, pop. He said something along the lines of, like, he had a home run in his last at bat, click, and then he's got another one. You know, I'm at home. They're not showing the ball. They're just showing, like, the direction it's going. So I'm getting excited. Bob's in the park watching the ball, and if he says it's gone, I have to assume he has a better angle than me.
It's gone.
Didn't even make the warning track.
Really?
I think the guy had, like, half a foot in the warning track. Now, we did it a couple,
there were two late, so yeah. That must have been the shorter of the two, because one was, like, his back was almost on the wall.
Yeah, but he called it a home run basically off the bat, and I'm thinking, oh, man, he must have smoked that. Didn't even get to the wall. Like, what are you doing? I was furious, livid.
Sad.
And I get that it's an SEC network call, so he can't be biased.
Right.
He was a Vanderbilt cheerleader yesterday. It was brutal. It was brutal. Not to mention the SEC network feed didn't even start up until like six pitches in. I don't know what they're doing. They had like a busted camera facing God knows what for 6 minutes.
Well, I'm telling you, this is the way it is in college baseball. There are a few teams every year, and Vanderbilt is definitely one this year, that are completely loaded with future stars, okay?
They are the more talented team on paper by far.
And when you have to watch a game against those type teams, it's super annoying because the announcers, no matter if it's radio, TV, whatever it is, they're just going to drool over those guys constantly.
Yeah.
We saw it with Rocker Friday, Leiter Saturday. It's incredible.
It was a Leiter commercial until we popped him a little bit. And then it was like, oh, wait, what's going on here?
Well, and then Vanderbilt got the lead and was up for – I tweeted at some point during the Saturday game, oh, great, now it's a Vanderbilt commercial again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Tennessee comes back and wins, it's like, oh, and these Tennessee guys, they're super scrappy.
So gritty and tough. Like, and
it's – but
– they work so hard.
But in college baseball, there's always a I don't know, it depends on the year, two to four teams that are like that. That's it. Then there's a whole handful of other teams that are kind of like Tennessee that can beat those teams because what do they say about baseball? Momentum in baseball, it only goes as far as tomorrow's starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like if a team like Tennessee gets a good pitching outing, they're going to be able to beat anybody. If they don't, they're going to struggle against teams that are chock full of super high-end talent. But like I said, there's only a few teams like that in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, Tennessee is in that, like, they're in that
Omaha
super
mix.
Regional challenger type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, where depending on how – what's tricky is for Tennessee, it's super important to beat all the teams that aren't as good as Vanderbilt as much as you can so that you can get into seedings and brackets where you hope that somehow you get to the super and you're playing a team like you. You're not playing a team like Vanderbilt.
Yep.
And then if you can do that, you got a great shot to go to Omaha. If you get in a super against a team that's one of the top-end teams, then you still have a shot, but obviously it's going to be like this weekend. It's going to be really tough. And then you just see. And then it's anybody's game. I remember when South Carolina, when they won their first national championship of the back-to-backs, they played UCLA in the – I think it was the championship series – and UCLA had, or maybe it was just the final, I can't remember the format, but anyway, UCLA had Garrett Cole. And it was like this, then they had another guy, I can't remember who that, but it was just like Vanderbilt with Rocker and Leiter.
Mm-hmm,
it was just like UCLA, 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 UCLA. Oh man, there's a bloop there. Oh, that guy stole a base. Oh, UCLA made an error. Oh, it's 2-0. UCLA, UCLA, oh, now it's 4-0. UCLA, you know, South Carolina might actually win tonight. Oh, and they did. It's like, what
took us a while to get here.
Yeah, it's like, what are you guys? But that's the way. I don't know if it's because baseball is kind of an individual sport then put together. Like you can basically practice all the baseball stuff without anyone, and then you get put together. So the announcers are so starstruck by individual guys.
Well, and those two guys are going to be the first two pitchers off the board.
Well, in this case, it's not even crazy.
If you're looking for star power, like Tennessee's going to have to create it. Vanderbilt just has it.
Right.
But we do have guys like Cheese and Blade.
I mean, Cheese was great Friday. Like, Tennessee just couldn't hit.
Yeah, I give Rocker a lot of credit. He had a great outing on Friday. Just, you can see why he's... I was wondering how it would... He was fired up. He was ready for this one. He played well. Pitched a hell of a game. We got two hits off of him. Seven innings. And then that Maldonado came in. He was throwing just nasty stuff. We couldn't touch him. But no, Cheese in the first game, he pitched fine. He gave up three, and then we went to like that weird, everyone pitches like a little tiny piece of an inning.
Yeah, you can't make defense mistakes like I mean, that hurt him in the first game, and then the third game especially. They had some. I mean, I don't know. There's just every little mistake is going to be just super magnified when we've got a lineup like Vanderbilt's that just chock full. I mean, they're nine hitters going yard, you know, and hitting the ball off the wall and missing first base and stuff. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, their catcher's like, what, 5'6", popping it over the fence?
Yeah, he's listed at 5'8".
Did you wait for me to say popping and then did that? That was impressive. How did you do that?
I wasn't listening. What?
It's Davey Hudson, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate all of his contributions to this show every day. Couldn't do it without you, Dave.
Thanks.
Couldn't do it without you. You son of a...
So as someone who did not watch a single play from any game this weekend, should I be feeling good about the Vols moving forward or not so good?
Yeah, good.
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 I think Houston and I have... figured out we were both right, because I think you can feel good about it, but they didn't quite accomplish the goal. They could have won Sunday. They did get they got a win off of Rocker or Leiter, which we
said you had to win one of the first two to have a chance at the series. Nate was not wrong. You had to win at least one of the first two to win the series.
Quick math.
Yeah, he's in a seven game. You know, you want to split the first two on the road. I don't know why.
Yeah, Dave, good. Well, we feel good. The crowd was amazing. Did you see Tim Corbin's comments about that, by the way?
Yeah, they were strange.
I can't tell what he's getting at. I can't tell if that was a compliment or a backhanded slap. I want to get to that. Also, how about Tony V getting tossed in the first game after the base runner catches? Did you see that?
Yeah, the foul ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the base runner just catches it. Even though I guess our third baseman could have maybe made a play at that. Tony V goes out, asks for an explanation, didn't get one, turns his back, and then gets ejected.
That didn't make any sense.
Well, the mask probably hid some language. Tony V, little fiery. Mm. I like it.
Yeah, what was it? Was it a chopper? It wasn't still in the air, was it?
I thought so.
Oh, was it still in the air?
I thought, yeah, just a little weird bloop. Because Tony V said that interfered with our guy's ability to maybe go catch it.
Okay.
I don't think we would have, but you can't do that.
I missed that it was in the air. No wonder.
Yeah. And then he waited.
I thought it was like a bouncing ball, and he was just saying like, hey, like if the ball has spin on it, it can come back.
Maybe there. It was I don't recall what the ball.
We've had this happen in kids' games. Depending on the field, like it can be a little slanted back
towards
the field.
Right.
And if there's a little English on the ball, I mean, one almost hit the fence one time and came back fair. Think about that.
I don't know what you mean.
Like, if a kid hits the ball and there's enough spin on it, it can almost hit like the fence beside the dugout,
short
of the base.
Yeah.
And kick back fair, and you know, and get back to the line before the base. And
I
be
got
fair,
you.
A fair
I
ball.
Got you.
And sometimes if the kid doesn't run, you like want to let it go and get there. If the kid's running hard, sometimes you want to go grab it while it's foul. So like the fielder needs to be able to make that call. Mm-hmm. And Tony V's like, hey, that's
things can happen.
Like you're basically getting hit by the ball, which if I don't know if people know this, but that's why you always take your lead from third and make sure you're in foul territory. Because if you get hit, you know, in fair territory, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in front of the fielder, but if you're foul territory, it's just a foul ball. But if you do it on purpose, like that's
very weird.
Yeah.
That was just a weird little play.
Mm-hmm.
Tony V did not like it. I didn't like that a lot. Biggest series in school history. Your team was in it at that point. I feel like they needed him out there in the last couple innings there.
He said he didn't mean to get run. So, you know, they were debating.
No, that's a good point. And I'm not here saying, you know, Tony, I just, obviously I don't know what he said. He had the mask on. I couldn't read his lips. But he did turn his back and start walking back to the dugout when the guy tossed him. I don't know. Callum just sent me the video. I'll watch that during the break. Very strange play.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, the game I was thinking about, it was the first game of the 2010 College World Series. So Garrett Cole's on the mound, right? Like, it'd be like if Rocker, it's like when Rocker went out there and just got shelled by, was it Georgia or somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they kept just talking about how awesome he was. And then, yeah, they won like 7-1. Like, it wasn't even a thing. It's kind of weird.
Very.
But yeah, that's the way it is. And baseball guys are more, especially with pitchers. I mean, pitchers are the stars. But Tennessee, I feel like Tennessee is one of those teams, though, that can, it's like anything else in college sport. Like, there's just the very top level teams. It's in college football, it always seems that those are the only teams that can win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in baseball, it's not like that. We ran down the list of, you know, champions before. It just, Tennessee just needs to, I think this is a great series for them because it showed them like the little things you have to do right to win games against teams that do have a little more talent than you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. They got one. Wasn't all bad.
Had to get one.
Gained a lot of experience. Pavloni's injury is a problem.
Like, they said the results were negative on the X-ray. Nothing broken, but just where it hit him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's going to be a sore hand for, you know, at least a week.
You remember me talking about that bruise on my leg?
Yeah.
Like the whole thing turned purple? That's what I'm thinking is going
to
happen.
I'd like to see his hand.
Yeah, it's
going to
be.
At it.
Yeah, it's going to be. Throwing hand.
Yeah, that hurts when you watch it. Mm-hmm. You just know how bad that felt.
Lots more to get to. Monday edition. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. He's a consummate pro.
I know. I don't know. Everyone was like, oh, he's going to mess it up. I was like, no, he won't. He only messes up voluntary reactions. and this show every time.
And the depot.
Oh, the depot's his. He can do whatever he wants to the depot.
Right.
I've already been looking. No movie today, but I've got some headlines. I've been back over here.
Big weekend for headlines.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff going on this thing we call Earth. But no, so the wedding went good?
It did. Had a great time. First off, want to say congratulations to now Copeland and Kaylee West. They're on their way to Aruba.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Nice.
But we had a really good time at the wedding, and
it's
good to see all my friends and hang out and reminisce on old times and then celebrate new ones. So
impressed they had the guts to let you do it.
What are you talking about? We knew you'd do well.
I know.
We played it up a little bit, but he's
inexperienced though. It's like going with the true freshman. It's like, you know.
Yeah, and he went out there and threw a no hitter
early and roll.
Like Jalen Suggs against UCLA,
5-star.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, he crushed it.
Got offers to do more.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a little side gig for you, Dave?
It might be. Honestly,
there you go.
We'll see. I mean, I had fun up there. It was one of those things to where I tried to put a different spin on than what you would normally get.
Talk about your game plan
I did introduce myself as father, so that got a few laughs. No, they thought it was funny. Because, I mean, most people knew me. It wasn't
father
like
Hudson.
It wasn't like
I'm Father Hudson.
They had no idea who it was.
Right.
Some people actually did go up to my parents and be like, how long has your son been a minister? I was like,
about a week now. Not technically, but. Well, good for you, man. That's great.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a good time.
Can't wait to
great weather too, right?
Oh yeah, it was fantastic. And
perfect weekend.
What is it they say? Like there was like a little bit of rain early in the morning, which is a sign of good luck. And
and it cleared out.
The bar was fully stocked. A lot of options there. They had White Claw, so shouts out.
That was like the main. The bar was fully stocked.
They actually
pregame, right? Like you.
No, I had like. two beers beforehand, like throughout the day. It's just like we were getting ready, kind of doing stuff. Yeah, yeah, but no, yeah. I was very hungover yesterday for the reception, but it was smart. The family rented a bus to take everyone in the bridal party back to the hotel.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want bad things to happen.
And after the last call, like I just grabbed a 12 pack of White Claw and was just walking around with that. So it made it better too.
That's my boy. Well, I'm happy for you. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so to the happy couple. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your game, man.
What was your goal coming into this?
Oh, man, it was all over the place. Like I had a quote from Kung Fu Panda, then I was talking about different Bible verses. You know, you never knew where you were going to
Kung Fu Panda?
Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu Panda. I know it's Kung Fu. I just like saying
Kung Fu.
Fu.
Kung Fu.
Yeah, it's okay. Well,
what was the quote?
The yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, but today is the gift. That's why it's called the present. Hmm. It's a hell of a quote. I mean,
yeah, I don't think that's original to Kung Fu Panda,
so either.
But
I don't think so.
Whatever works.
But that's where he heard it. So.
Right. Yeah, that's fine.
I gave credit.
Mm-hmm. You did? You told everyone, like, that's from Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah.
See, that probably got a laugh.
It flowed well.
Yeah. As Kung Fu Panda says. Kung Fu Panda.
I gave him, I did give wedding advice beforehand.
You didn't say per day.
Wedding advice or marriage?
Marriage advice at the wedding. That's probably how I should have phrased it. I mean.
What was that? What was the key to the homily for you? What was the key moment that really got you over the hump?
Mm.
When did you know that, you know?
Oh, after I got through the initial prayer, I knew it was going to go great. Mm. I was like, I really crafted a good performance in that area to where there was some emotion that was definitely genuine, I want to say. And so that allowed me to.
Well, you didn't have like a little lemon juice rubbing your eyes or anything?
No.
Okay.
No. Got a little choked up, but I think it helped add to the overall.
To the moment. I'm glad the moment wasn't too big for you. You know,
all those
you either,
doubters.
You either define the moment or the moment defines you. Mm. So way to come through for your friends and family there.
I do what I can.
So up next for Tennessee baseball, Tennessee Tech on Tuesday at home, 6:30. And then road trip.
College Station.
To Texas A&M. Friday, 7:30, Saturday, 6, Sunday, 2.
They are not very good.
Yeah, we were looking at the schedule in the break, and Tennessee, obviously, you play in the SEC, you're going to have a tough schedule. But Tennessee gets to dodge both Mississippi schools.
Big.
Which is pretty good. They were playing each other this weekend in Starkville. And
that was a madhouse.
They ranked like 4-6. Mississippi State won yesterday. I think Ole Miss won one game. Did Mississippi State win this? I don't know. Mississippi State won the series or what happened there. But both those teams are really good. Tennessee doesn't have those on their schedule at all. Tennessee has the rest of the way as Texas A&M, and I might mess the order of this up, but Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So in the East, obviously Vanderbilt leads 11-4. Tennessee is second, 10-5. They're tied with South Carolina at 10-5. That'll be a huge series probably to end the year for seedings and pecking order and all that stuff. Florida is 9-6. Of course, Tennessee already won that series. Kentucky's 7-8. So, like, I mean, again, they're 22-11. They're an SEC team. They're going to be tough. They're going to be pretty good. But you really need to make hay there. You've already played Georgia, and the Missouri is dead last in the East at 4-11 in the conference, 11-23 overall. Really need to go 3-0 when you play Missouri.
Texas A&M also 4-11 in conference, 21-17 overall. They are 15-8 at home.
Okay.
But most of their home games have been against, or home wins, I should say, have been against non-SEC teams.
Yeah, so we didn't get to play Auburn this year, who's bad.
Mm.
But it's nice to not to play either Mississippi team and at least get A&M. We got LSU earlier, Alabama, Arkansas, of course. Arkansas will be really tough. That one series, at least at home, Arkansas now number one in the country. They're loaded. They're 30-6, 11-4 in the conference. So, I think all things considered, not a bad weekend for Tennessee baseball.
A&M so far has been swept by Florida. They lost a series to Georgia. They lost a series at Missouri. and they were swept by Alabama. Mm. They did take one from Arkansas, but still gave up the series last week. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was this weekend. I apologize.
Gotcha.
So they got they lost 13-0 on I guess they did a doubleheader. 13-0 Saturday, 2-1 Saturday, and then they won yesterday again against Arkansas, number one team in the country, 11-10. Sunday pitching in the SEC. Typically you see some crooked numbers.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend's game brought to you by Aggieland Credit Union, apparently. So there's that.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't think many of our listeners are in the footprint for Aggieland Credit Union.
Well, I was looking at some other schedules. Let's see. So South Carolina has Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Kentucky left. Much tougher road. So you should be able to finish ahead of them and hopefully hold on to second in the SEC East. I was going to check Florida as well. Obviously, they're only a game back, and at least you do have the head-to-head on that front. I mean, not that you're really playing for seeding in the SEC tournament so much as kind of the national pecking order. Like, mm-hmm. You're trying to say, hey, we're here in the SEC standings, because wherever you are in the SEC on the national stage kind of sets up, you know, where you could be ranked in the regionals and super regionals. It's also going to be weird with the site selections too.
Yeah.
Like, is there going to be...
And we still, what, like 3 weeks before we even know that?
Yeah, like it's...
Mid-May?
I don't know. I mean, you want to show the committee or whoever that, you know, you can be one of the... that you are one of the best teams and kind of force them to have to use your site. Florida's at Auburn, so that should be a pretty easy one for them. They swept Missouri this weekend, so hopefully you can match up with those games later in the year. They get Vanderbilt after that, though. So Florida and Vandy haven't played yet. And then they also finish the season, Florida does, at Arkansas. So those games are even. They also have Georgia and Kentucky. So I would say, from a scheduling standpoint, Florida's schedule and Tennessee's schedule the rest of the way are pretty similar. Because you both have Arkansas. They have to play Vandy. Whereas, but they also get Auburn and Georgia and Kentucky. Mm. Kentucky's the same. So they have a couple weak teams, but they have to take Vandy. And you both have Arkansas, who's loaded.
Get healthy, take care of business. Stop pitching Evan Russell out there, you idiots. Actually, don't. Just keep doing it.
Well, is he? I mean, he doesn't, like... I need to go look at their stats. I mean, it's not like he's been the power hitter this year or anything. This is just kind of.
I actually think he's leading the SEC in home runs and league play, but he has, you know,
yeah, I mean,
two hat tricks
this weekend, yeah.
And two games with three. First Tennessee player to ever do that, by the way. A lot of guys have done it once, but never twice. And I guess, say a lot of guys. I think it's like three or four.
What I was trying to say is, like, he hasn't been the focal point in the offense. This is not like. All year, it's like Evan Russell.
No, there was a stretch where it was Drew Gilbert,
yeah.
And Drew Gilbert is on a bad slide right now. I think he's, what, 0 for his last 26 at-bats, or did he get on? Well, I think he's drawn some walks. I don't think he's gotten a hit in his last, you know, few games. But no, this is it's kind of by committee. Like, you never really know which part of the lineup is going to come through. We just got to do a little bit better job manufacturing a few runs. We don't need to – I mean, okay, I love the home run – but sometimes it's like we need to just get on base. I mean, they did a good job. You know, we are, I think, the most or second most walked team in the conference. We make other teams throw strikes. But sometimes, I mean, how many in that Friday game, how many did we hit to the warning track? Four? Five?
Yeah. A lot.
It's brutal. Hurts.
Now we'll come back. I got some stats for you. Final segment, hour one. I also want to ask you about a couple Tony V decision questions.
All right.
You think. Come with me now. Final segment, hour number one. Yeah, I pulled up some, let's see. I got the Tennessee SEC games only stats.
Okay.
I feel like as we get more and more SEC games, that's a little better representation of how they're doing against good pitching. Better pitching, anyway. These are sorted by batting average. So, yeah, Evan Russell's has the second best batting average of guys with enough attempts, only behind Liam Spence. So, Spence is hitting 388 in SEC play. Russell 280, and then Rucker 271. Pavloni 217. Actually, in a weird way, batting averages aren't great for SEC play. But as we mentioned, I mean, they've had timely hitting, and yeah. So Evan Russell has 8 home runs in SEC play. 16 RBI. His slugging percentage is 840.
Pretty good.
Yeah. This is in 10 games. No, sorry. They're 10-5, 15 games. 5 series. What do you think about Vitella twice trying to sack bunt guys into really trying to get them to third with less than 2 outs?
I didn't have a problem with either of them.
Luke to get one down.
Isn't he your best bunter?
No.
Okay.
I think he was a terrible bunter. They were saying he's probably never been asked to bunt.
Okay. He's like your best.
In fact, on Sunday.
I can't remember who that was, though.
Was that the guy that got it down yesterday?
Yeah.
I don't remember who that was. But he executed perfectly. There were runners on first and second, nobody out. Mm-hmm. He bunted and got him to second, right, third with one out. Then that's when we got I think that was the comebacker to the pitcher, the line drive.
Yeah, yep.
God, it was a key play. That ball goes through. It's a whole different ballgame.
It is. Like the guy said, self-defense catch. Just turn the head, put the glove up.
But, no, he asked Lipsius to bunt on, I think that was Saturday.
He took 2 strikes, and then did he swing on?
And so Sunday, I'm at the park, and Lipsius is up, and they put the shift on, and they had no third baseman at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they basically had a shortstop, a short fielder, a second baseman in the grass, and the first baseman. And one of the guys in the row ahead of me goes, man, just seems like you could just lay a bunt down, like, just anywhere over there. Like, you're going to be on easy. And they said, I wonder why he doesn't do that. And I said, did you watch him run bunt yesterday? like, yeah, but that was a sacrifice situation. I was like, yeah, it's easier. Like, everyone knows you're bunting. It's fine. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It made sense to me to do it in a closer game. I don't know that it made sense to do it in, the home run derby that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to manufacture some runs.
Like you said.
To get some guys on base and hope somebody can put one through a gap. Yeah. I didn't have like a huge problem with it.
I don't like giving up outs.
I hear you. Yeah, especially against good pitchers like that.
I don't know. It's a catch 22. When you're going up against like a rocker or a lighter, you're thinking, okay, let's say a guy hits the leadoff double, right? You got a guy on second. It's going to be, the game's going to be a 3-2 type of game. You're thinking, all right, if we lay the bunt down, we get him to third with one out, then a sack fly, a ball that's even fielded up the middle, like depending on, all that stuff. We can get this run in. One run's huge. But at the same time, you're giving them an out, and those guys are so good. I mean, sometimes it's hard to even put the ball in play if they've really got it cooking. So, I don't know. Tony V has gone both ways with those decisions over the course of his time here. So, and you can't argue with the success he's had. But I just thought that was
a lot of people tweeting Danny White over the weekend to pay that man his money.
I get the sentiment, but I mean, we don't have to like pay him between Saturday and Sunday. Like, it's okay. Like, he's not going to take another job right here in the middle of the.
No, I'm with you. Stretch. But if you're Danny White and you saw what,
put it on the radar though, Danny. Like, just right.
If you just look at the environment that has really been.
I don't like that move.
What's that?
Tweeting at him. We need to just text him.
Text your buddy. Even though it's good things, like, hey, we like this coach, please keep him.
No, you don't want to put information out there, because then
Danny's to be his idea.
Yeah, because then Danny's going to be like, well, this isn't my thing. I'm just going to go find my coach now, Got to be careful.
But surely if he saw that stadium this weekend and what it can be.
No, it's not a Danny White original.
I got an interesting tidbit over the weekend that,
okay, I'm all ears.
A lot of people said the stadium, is it 50% now? I got.
Oh no! Someone said yesterday it looked like 2/3.
Well,
would you agree with that?
I had a source from inside the ticket office that said actually, they were allowed to push it to, I guess, 75%, counting all the extra students that were out on the deck.
Okay.
So, but
so
no,
are we close? Close to getting
no, we're at 70. Yeah, we're at 75% now. Actually.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying.
That's why
are we close to 100?
Like, oh, I don't know.
We about to push
I don't know
it
about that. Talk to Martha.
Yeah, Tim. I can't tell what he meant. It was very strange. He was complimentary, but then you know the whole COVID doesn't exist in Knoxville. Here's what he said: I don't know what we're doing in Nashville, but there aren't many empty seats at UT. Mm-hmm. COVID does not exist in Knoxville. There are a lot of people here having a good time, and sometimes at our expense, they've created a very good environment here for baseball, and I credit them. Everything's really nice, except the COVID does not exist in Knoxville line, which sounds a little bit like you guys are dumb for doing this. Mm-hmm. Is that he went off one way and then just tried to redirect to positive stuff?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Was he trying to make, is that a joke? Like, I don't.
I mean,
like COVID doesn't.
Right, like, oh, COVID must not exist here.
Yeah, like,
But he said it in a way, I don't know what we're doing in Nashville. Like, almost like a, hey, if they can have this many fans, can't we?
This is the same state. It's like he's kind of saying, like, hey.
I don't know. I like Tim Corbett. He's a smart guy. My first radio gig, I used to have to call him on the phone, talk to him for a little bit before we'd go on air. Super nice guy. Super nice. This was a little bit strange. Hmm. His face after that grand slam might have been the face of the weekend. Just a crooked face.
Yeah, he was that's pretty funny.
That was so fun. I swear I've watched that 150 times. All the different angles of the fan reaction and the bench. Like Tony V was the first guy out of the dugout. Mm-hmm. He gave a couple of fist bumps. Did you see Travis Cabbage brings it up. Did you see the mullet luge from over the weekend?
I did.
A lot of national college baseball accounts loving the legends of Lindsey Nelson.
Man, the announcers really kept butchering that one, too. They kept coming to the
Lindsey Nelson. Lindsey Legends?
The Lindsey Legends. They said it like 14 different ways.
Well, it's new. It's got to catch on.
You said it, though. That was
it's a bold strategy to call yourself Legends before you've done anything, but in a quick time.
Right out of the gate.
Yep, they nailed it. They nailed it.
I don't know. I was a little disappointed yesterday. Kind of late arriving.
It was a Sunday crowd.
They didn't really get into it, though, like early on, even when we were.
I had a late night Saturday celebrating.
See, that's. You got to learn. If you want to be a big boy and win these series, you got to learn you can't put all your eggs in one game basket. You got to save some for the final day.
Fair enough.
It's a process. We're learning.
Yeah,
we're learning.
That's true.
We're learning how to be a baseball school.